You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
No time to waste. No time to waste. We're still counting down the top 20 moments of the Political Cesspool radio program's 2016. James Edwards here. Keith Alexander also in the studio. We covered items number 20 through number 10 in the second hour. Let's quickly recap those. Number 20, our annual Confederate History Month series. Number 19, being able to break the news live about the takeover of the Mount Hoar National Wildlife Refuge in Oregon before anyone else.
Standoff.
Number 18, rejecting interviews with over 100 media outlets, including the Wall Street Journal and New York Times. Number 17, granting interviews to Red Ice Radio. Number 16, Washington Post pouting over the political cesspool's press credentials to Trump events. Number 15, the media attacking us for advocating proper gender roles. Number 14, touring Tennessee with Philip DeWinter. Number 13, speaking to the League of the South Conference. Number 12, our interview with the New York Times. The impasse ended after the election was over in December. Number 11, Donald Trump Jr.'s tweeting about Skittles and the media coming down on us because of it. Number 10, being named one of the key players of the alternative right. Down to number 9. Number 9 on the top 10. We're now down from the top 20 to the top 10. Number 9, speaking at American Renaissance. Now, Jared Taylor has been a personal friend of mine for many years, and his annual conferences are a showcase of white advocacy par excellence. I enjoyed the wonderful honor of being able to speak at this year's gathering, where we later hosted, along with Keith Alexander, a remote broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program live from the scene. The main event itself, the conference, was a standing room only affair that boasted the largest attendance in the history of American Renaissance. My second opportunity to speak to AMREN, and that occurred earlier this year at their most well-attended conference to date. Keith, you were there, and we were talking about this, as a matter of fact, just during the last commercial break.
Yes, and there were wonderful people there. Richard Spence was there, Bill Johnson, William D. Johnson.
So many.
Yeah, in fact, I don't want to start naming them because I'll leave somebody off inadvertently, but, you know, Bill Johnson in particular got a lot of play in the airways by sponsoring. Tell them about that.
Well, you couldn't be more, your timing couldn't be more appropriate because number 8 is a Trump radio ad that was funded by Bill Johnson. Now, this really was an incredible opportunity. We're down to number 8 on the top 20 moments of our year that was. Number 8, the Trump radio ad. Bill Johnson came to Sam Bushman and I in October, at the very first of October.
And remember, he'd been a Trump delegate, and they caused a fire. It caused a firestorm in the mainstream media that he was a delegate from California for Trump.
Well, he also funded several robocalls in many states. I can't remember them all now.
I think Iowa was one of them.
Iowa, Utah, I think New Hampshire or Vermont. There were several, half a dozen at least. Bill Johnson did those robocalls. Well, in October, though, he approached us, and I was asked to write and voice a pro-Trump radio ad that aired on radio stations in battleground states during the final month of the campaign. So Bill Johnson's Super PAC funded the purchase on these radio stations that aren't affiliated with Liberty News Radio, I might add. The ad was written and voiced by me, produced by Sam Bushman. It was phenomenally good. Perhaps, I think, even more effective.
I think you may have pushed him across the finish line in Michigan.
Well, listen, we're going to get to that, too. This ad aired on the Political Cesspool and Liberty Roundtable, of course, but it also aired on stations of battleground states. I thought it was perhaps even more effective than many of the ads that were sanctioned by the official campaign. I was very proud of it. Felt as though it had a positive impact for Trump. And of course, though, with all things related to this show, my participation was noted and covered by several prominent mouthpieces for the regime, including the Los Angeles Times. But in an election that was so razor thin in some of these swing states, to have an ad that aired prominently on radio stations in these states that we had an intimate involvement with was quite good. Now, you mentioned Michigan, number 7 on our list. We had the opportunity to go up and give a speech and 2 subsequent television appearances in Michigan on October 15th. On October 15th, while that aforementioned radio ad was airing simultaneously in battleground states across the country,
including Michigan,
I traveled to Michigan to give a speech to a packed house. After the talk, I appeared on back-to-back episodes of The Battle of Ideas, which is a television talk show that airs on a number of public access television channels throughout Michigan. Now, during these 2-hour-long appearances, I passionately lobbied for voters in Michigan to cast their ballots for Donald Trump. 2 weeks later, he won the states by 10,000 votes. That is nothing in a presidential campaign. 10,000 votes is less than 0.1% of the vote.
It's a dimple on the pimple on a flea's ass, as you say.
And so he won that state by 10,000 votes. And look, did we do it? Who's to say? But we did go up there and participate in these television appearances, make a speech, run some radio ads up there. And he ended up winning it by 10,000 votes. So at the very least, you could say we certainly didn't cost him Michigan. And I think you could probably argue that we had a hand.
Look,
in
there's no, really no way to calculate the influence that the alt-right in general and our show in particular had on this race. But I think it was all positive. They thought it was going to be negative. I think that Hillary Clinton did herself a great disservice and Trump and the alt-right a great favor by mentioning the alt-right specifically as, you know, in connection with her deplorable speech and whatnot, in her Utah speech. You know, she just could not have stepped in it more perfectly. She fell for everything. These people actually thought they were popular. They had no idea how popular we and our ideas are. And I think that's one of the big reasons that Trump turned out to be the winner of the presidential campaign.
Well, I think, again, I certainly share in that opinion. And so number 8 and number 7, respectively, are sort of interrelated. The Trump radio ad that aired in Battleground States, coupled with our appearance, speech, and subsequent television appearances in Michigan, which was a very hotly contested Battleground State, was something that we were very proud about. Now, number 6, I can't offer too much commentary on this one because the case has still not been resolved. But number 6 on our list of top 20 moments in the political cesspools 2016 was when I filed a lawsuit against the Detroit News for libel. And an article appeared shortly after my attorney, Kyle Bristow, filed the lawsuit. It appeared in the Courthouse News, which is basically, I guess, a trade magazine for people in the legal system. But nevertheless, the Courthouse News noted that I had filed a lawsuit. It reads, "Call conservative radio talk show host James Edwards a hate monger. Just don't call him a member of the Ku Klux Klan." Edwards sued the Detroit News and one of its columnists who printed that Edwards was a leader of the Ku Klux Klan. And the column was written in response. The story reads, "To Edwards' public support for Donald Trump, and was one of many to lambaste the Trump campaign for granting Edwards media credentials. An article in the New York Daily News at the time referred to Edwards as a hate monger, but by insinuating that Edwards was a Klansman, however, the Detroit News crossed a line, one that involves libel and invasion of privacy, according to the lawsuit." So, again, that's still, we filed that lawsuit in April, I believe, and it's still meandering its way through the legal system, but I look forward to seeing justice served when that matter is settled.
That's what will happen, but see, there is a big difference between the Klan and being a hate monger if you're not if you're anywhere to the right of the Southern Poverty Law Center. In fact, the Southern Poverty Law Center exists to try to create equivalences to the Nazi Party and the Ku Klux Klan. But nothing stings like those two epithets.
Calling me a hate monger is a matter of opinion. Calling me a leader of the Klan is either a fact or not. That's where libel comes into play. We're back with the top 5 next.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty now, getting down to the top five moments of 2016 here in the political cesspool. And for our audience, we're not going to recount all of the top 20. We've done that a few times, but we will revisit the top 10, at least numbers 10 through 5, as we're now down to the top 5. Number 10 being named one of the key players of the alternative right. Number 9, speaking at American Renaissance and everything else that took place at that conference. Number 8, the Trump radio ad that this network produced and that was aired in battleground states across the country for the month immediately leading up to Election Day. Number 7, the speech and television appearances that we were able to make in Michigan on October 15th, just 2 weeks before Election Day. Number 6, the lawsuit that we filed, myself and my attorney, Kyle Bristow, against the Detroit News for libel. Hey, folks, if we're going to fight, we got to fight. Look, I love educating. I love advocating on the radio airwaves and in the court of public opinion, but sometimes it needs to go beyond the court of opinion and into the court of law when you think that you have the need to do so, and when the case is so severe that you need to take legal action. And that's certainly what I felt was the case this spring, and it's still going through the courts. There's no quick resolution in the legal system.
Well, we need to follow the playbook of the left. The left has always used the court system as one of their primary tools for advancing the liberal agenda. For example, the Brown versus Board of Education decision, Roe versus Wade. We need to learn from the enemy. We need to find a way to start using the court system to advance our interests, particularly if Trump appoints conservatives, true conservatives, to the Supreme Court, as he has promised to do, and they don't turn out to be David Souters or John Paul Stevenses or Lewis Powells, as the nominees of former Republican presidents have turned out to be fake conservatives. If we have real conservatives, we could take a case like James's up to the Supreme Court, win it, and make big news. You know, there might even be something good to come out of the Dylann Roof debacle, because he's being prosecuted under hate crime laws, and hate crime laws, which are race neutral. They say if somebody is primarily motivated by hatred of race in committing a crime, that it's a hate crime. Well, how come no one except white Gentiles is ever prosecuted for a hate crime in America?
If it's ever happened, it certainly hasn't made big news.
That would be something that should be challenged as part of the appeal process that is inevitable in any capital case.
I'm not even sure if the perpetrators of the Knoxville Horror, the black gang that murdered, raped, sodomized, tortured the two white college students in Knoxville, Tennessee. I'm not even sure if that was if hate crimes charges were filed in that event. But anyway, hey, we're down to the top five now. And I don't know what's going to happen with that lawsuit. I hope we win, because we've expended a great deal of time, effort, and financial resources to fight the case. I may lose the case. I may win the case. I may lose the case. But no matter what, I have fought the case. And if you don't fight, Keith, you lose every time.
Well, you know, you've got to take on the cut. You've got to basically look the. The weapons for this duel have been chosen by the left. They are race, and they are the court system. So consequently, we need to fight back in kind. We need to learn to use their weaponry and use it to our advantage, and this is a first step.
Number five, down to the top five on the top 20 list, being named one of the top 20 right-wing media fixtures responsible for Donald Trump's nomination. Hey, after 12 years on the air, we've seen and done and been called a whole lot of things. However, I have to admit that being named one of the, quote, top 20 right-wing media fixtures responsible for Donald Trump left me with a smile. In addition to your humble host, others included on this list were Ann Coulter, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, and Bill O'Reilly. Now, we might not agree with everything those people say, but it's certainly a list of company you would want to be included in when it comes time to be mentioned in terms of power and influence. And it was really interesting timing when this came out. This came out in February.
This was like the first time that we were thrust into the limelight, or James was.
Well,
and
it's the whole
basically
show.
Everything else, at least in the Trump campaign, this was what led. This was the mustard seed that grew into the huge mustard plant that the political cesspool and James Edwards' involvement in the Trump campaign turned into.
This, you're absolutely right, Keith, because this, us being listed in this capacity, occurred in February. Just a few days before, we were offered credentials to attend the Trump rally, and of course, everything from there just blew up. Who knows? Maybe the Trump campaign saw this list and said, "Hey, we want this guy to be."
I'll bet you a dollar to a donut hole somebody in the Trump campaign saw it.
Number four. So number five, we were named one of the top right-wing media fixtures responsible for Donald Trump. Number four, Hillary Clinton believed it because she attacked us by name. Number four, being attacked by Hillary Clinton. Now, if there were ever any doubts, Keith, and audience, that the Political Cesspool radio program is impacting presidential politics, they were laid to rest shortly before the demise of Hillary Clinton when the former frontrunner issued a campaign statement on her official website warning voters that if Donald Trump emerged victorious, that extremists like James Edwards would be shaping the country. Maybe that's what put him over the top, Keith.
Yeah, I think so. When people heard that, they said, "I got to vote for Trump."
This is what it says. We actually captured the screenshot and posted it to this article about our top 20 moments. HillaryClinton.com. James Edwards, the talk radio host who lists his location on Twitter as the Confederate States of America, said, "So much good stuff coming from Trump tonight, I can't keep up. Deportation forces, cut funding to sanctuary cities. The hit's just coming."
Just keep on coming.
Well, I couldn't fit that into Twitter because you have a character limit, so I just put "the hits keep coming." But then Hillary Clinton's campaign responded by saying, along with that image of my screenshot on Twitter in this campaign statement that appeared on her website, "This is how Trump and his extremist fans see America, and it's how they'll shape the country if we give them the chance." Well, we've got
the
chance now.
Isn't it wonderful? You know what she is? She's like the Wicked Witch of the West in Wizard of Oz. She's up here attacking Dorothy, and she catches on fire, and Dorothy throws a bucket of water on her, and she starts to melt. As soon as she started to attack you and you came back, then her campaign started to melt. You know, being an enemy of Hillary Clinton is a rare honor and privilege, and we're glad to embrace it.
Number Number three, receiving press credentials to attend the Republican National Convention. Now, what do you think happened when the media found out that we had received press credentials to attend the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, where we interviewed a number of GOP members of Congress and various other Trump surrogates?
They defecated and fell back in it, as they would say, in here in the South. And, I mean, they absolutely went berserk. And, you know, despite their best efforts, we kept being elevated in terms of public profile, and this is another way that the Trump campaign proved that they were bulletproof, that they basically were like Superman. The bullets were bouncing off of us.
Have you ever seen the movie? The movie Gremlins from the 1980s, they try to hurt the gremlins by drowning them in water, but when you put a gremlin in water, it only multiplies and becomes more strong. So that's kind of like us. When the media issues these attack pieces on us, they're used to people doing the white wimp shuffle, cowering and apologizing and quitting and all of that. No, with us, it only adds more fuel to the fire. But I'll tell you, that week in Cleveland was one for the record books. It was a tremendous experience to have been in that arena when Donald Trump became the nominee for president. You can read all about it at the website. But much more than that, sharing fellowship with Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby and Matt the Copperhead, who were there, we rented a house while we were there that week, and just going to and from the event every day, it was exhausting, but we were there for all of it from the very beginning to the very end. And we were there with not just attendees. You couldn't even get in there unless you belonged, unless you were a delegate, an elected official, or a member of the press with credentials. You couldn't get in that thing. We had the press credentials and we were there. We wrote all about it. Go revisit that, because it's number three on our top 20 countdown. What's numbers one and two? You'll find out when the political cesspool returns on this New Year's Eve special broadcast right after this.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
The lifeless body of NATO Auditor General Yves Chandelon was found in the Belgian city of Andenne 2 days before Christmas. Authorities quickly described the unexpected death as a suicide by means of a self-inflicted gunshot to the head. But as the Free Thought Project points out, there are troubling details suggesting Chandelon indeed might not have taken his own life. The NATO official's assignment dealt with counteraction against terrorism financing issues. His body was found more than 62 miles from his home in Lens and roughly 87 miles from his workplace in Luxembourg. He owned 3 registered firearms, but an unregistered gun was discovered near his body. Several of his associates reported that Chandelon told them he thought he had been followed and had received strange calls. In the days immediately prior to his death, Chandelon had been heard to say that he felt threatened. Given his work in examining terrorist financing and the documented role played by NATO member state Turkey in supporting the Islamic State and allied Islamist rebels in Syria, many observers have speculated that Chandelon had provoked the lethal attention of shadowy protected figures connected to terrorism.
If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's WorldAffairsBrief.com. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, here it comes. The top two events of the political cesspool's year, 2016. We covered numbers 20 through 10 in the second hour. 10 through 3 have been covered this hour. And once again, number 10 being named one of the key players of the alt-right. Number 9, speaking at American Renaissance. Number 8, the Trump radio ad that this network produced. Number 7, the speech and television appearances in Michigan. Number 6, the lawsuit against the Detroit News that is still ongoing. Number 5, being named one of the top 20 right-wing media fixtures responsible for Donald Trump. That may give us too much credit, but I'm not going to argue it. And number 4, being attacked by Hillary Clinton. She sure believed it. And number 3, receiving the press credentials to the Republican National Convention, sharing that wonderful week with Sam Bushman. And we just had a great time in Cleveland. Number 2, the interview with Donald Trump Jr. Okay, so everybody remembers how this happened. The day after we went to the Donald Trump event as members of the press here in Memphis, we received an email from a press agency booking interviews for Donald Trump Jr. for Super Tuesday because, of course, this show airs live on Saturday. I couldn't do it, but suggested that Sam Bushman take it. They went and contacted Sam Bushman, and he was able to accommodate Donald Trump Jr. And Sam said, hey, by the way, James, since the request came to you, how about you join me on the air? I wasn't expecting it. I wouldn't have asked for it if he hadn't offered it. But since he did, I was happy to take him up on it. And so Sam Bushman interviewed Donald Trump Jr. I participated in that interview on the Liberty Roundtable show. And together, we redefined March Madness. You think it's about the NCAA basketball tournament. Well, we were able to redefine March Madness after that interview with Donald Trump Jr. on Super Tuesday. You can just do a simple Google News search for James Edwards, political cesspool, Donald Trump Jr., Liberty Roundtable, Sam Bushman, however you want to key it in. And that'll bring those of you joining us in progress up to date. But by the time the dust had settled, after 2 weeks, I mean 2 weeks, of constant fire from the press. We had been attacked by everyone, including but not limited to CNN, MSNBC, National Public Radio, Bloomberg, New York Times, New York Daily News, Reuters, UK Daily Mail, Washington Post, nearly 150 other fake news outlets. Jared Taylor made the following remark in response to those fireworks, and this is what Jared told me on this radio program. Quote, they, the media, came down on you about as heavily as I've ever seen them come down on anybody, and I must say that you handled it impeccably. You never flinched, you never turned back, and you never apologized because, of course, you had nothing to apologize for. Anyone who can stand up in the face of that kind of attack and come back for more is a great example for the rest of us. High praise indeed when coming from someone like Jared Taylor, who is perhaps one of 3 or 4 people who have received more publicity than we have over the course of the last 10 years. So that's high praise indeed. But just to provide you very quickly with just a sampling of some of the headlines that we were subjected to during that week immediately after the interview with Donald Trump Jr., Donald Trump Jr. stumbles out of his father's shadow and into the spotlight with white nationalist interview, said the Washington Post. Donald Trump appears with white supremacist on radio show, said Reuters. White supremacists are broadcasting from inside Trump rallies, cried the Huffington Post. Trump Jr. interviewed by pro-white radio host who called slavery the greatest thing that ever happened to African Americans. Now, that is one long headline by the New York Daily News. Donald Trump Jr. appears with white supremacist on radio show, Newsweek. Donald Trump Jr. campaigned for his dad on a radio show where he was interviewed by a white supremacist, UK Daily Mail. My favorite, though, media-hating Trump campaign approved credential for slavery-loving white nationalist. Hey, I can list over 100 more headlines that were spawned from that very polite and agreeable discussion we had with Donald Trump Jr., but you get the picture. By the end of the day, Keith, news of this reached the globe. Around the globe, Canada, Hong Kong, Malaysia, Nigeria even, Pakistan and elsewhere. And the nonsense was hardly confined to print, with anchors lining up to take free shots at us on CNN, MSNBC, and countless radio shows.
Even Fox News.
Oh, sure. In the end, tens of millions of dollars of publicity were lavished upon smearing our good name. But as always, we march forward with our shoulders squared and heads held high. If you have not listened to that interview with Donald Trump Jr., you should check it out.
Look, it's like the Timex watch. We take a licking and keep on ticking. This was their effort. I mean, they pulled out all the heavy artillery when they found out that you had given this, participated in this interview. I mean, they brought out the neutron bombs in their arsenal. And when all the smoke cleared, it was like the flag was still flying over the Alamo. You know, we were there and we were firing back. And furthermore, they made the mistake of doing something where they could be checked behind. We posted the whole interview. I think Sam posted the whole interview on his website
and
as well.
We replayed it on the political cesspool. Yeah. Which was
and people listened to it and said, these are the nut jobs. You know, it's it sounds like the people that are attacking them are the nut jobs. These are reasonable, intelligent voices making a perfectly innocuous interview, and they're trying to turn it into Mein Kampf or something.
Well, that interview, first of all, everything that Sam and I said, Kirk Crosby participated in it as well, that Sam's co-host on the Liberty Roundtable, everything that we said, Donald Trump agreed with enthusiastically, and not only that, he doubled down on everything that we said and took it a step further. And it's been posted to YouTube. We replayed it on our show because, of course, this was the show that the booking agency was originally reaching out for. Sam Bushman accommodated it. Without Sam, none of it would have happened.
See, the scales started to fall from the public's eyes. I said, maybe these people aren't so nutty after all. Maybe the nutty people are the people in the mainstream, the leftists, that are trying their very best to stuff a sock in the mouth of the right. The right wing talks our language. That's what the American people started to conclude, and that is one of the big impulses that drove Donald Trump across the finish line, in my opinion.
You know, somewhat regrettably, Donald Trump Jr. was caught unawares as to all of the lies that have been told about us, and he did a little bit of the white wimp shuffle himself. You know, it takes something to say that the political cesspool is too hot, even for the Trump family. Hope Hicks, little nimwit, Hope Hicks, wet her pants.
Hopeless Hicks.
Over it all. She denounced me about two or three times throughout the year. In case the media ever forgot that she denounced me, this was Trump's campaign.
You know, I'd like to meet Hope Hicks someday and show her that we really don't have horns growing up on our head or a tail tucked in under our pants or whatnot.
If ever she thought the media had forgotten that she is Trump's campaign spokesperson, had denounced us, she would remind him throughout the year, hey, don't forget we've denounced James Edwards. But anyway, hey, doesn't matter. We were still at the Republican National Convention. We still went all in for Trump and I think played a role in his ultimate victory. But that interview with Donald Trump Jr. was a great experience. It was a great interview. Now, he shouldn't have lost his spine in response.
Well, a lot of people like that, they're just not used to it. They haven't been battle-tested.
Well, that was
you.
What a lot of these people, even the Washington Post had said that we thrust Donald Trump Jr. into the spotlight, the likes of which he had never seen before. In fact, I saw Donald Trump on television a few months before the election saying that the interview he did with us will follow him for the rest of his life. Now, that's one interview that I guarantee
you remember.
Well,
quite frankly, he ought to be thankful because his father may not be in the position he's in now as the president-elect of the United States had not it been for that.
Well, that was number two on our list. Now, you can say that being named one of the top 25 or top 20 right-wing media people responsible for Trump, which was number five on our list, led to us getting the press credentials, which led to the interview with Donald Trump Jr., the Donald Trump interview number two. Number one on my list, though, is, in fact, receiving those original press credentials from the Trump campaign and being given permission to broadcast the political cesspool live from his press pen as Trump spoke in Memphis, Tennessee on February 27th. So here it is. Had it not been for that event that really started it all, most of the other items that we've covered on the show tonight would never have happened. The earth stood still, at least our world did, on February 27th when I received press credentials from the Trump campaign and permission, as I mentioned, to broadcast DPC live from the press pen while the next president was speaking not 20 feet away from us. I wrote a very lively and fully illustrated featured article about my experience, which melted the establishment media to its core. There was wailing and gnashing of teeth, of biblical proportions.
Rending of garments.
But I would ask you to revisit that article, which we posted to the Political Cesspool You can find it. You can access the link to that on our Top 20 Countdown, which is published this week. But that was a night that I'll never forget. Keith, you were there. Eddie was there. Matt the Copperhead was there on the ground in Memphis, as were other fans at the Political Cesspool. We wrote all about it. Sam Bushman anchored the show, guest hosted the show from Utah so that we could do the remote from the Trump press pen. But we actually replayed that show since the election, at least the first hour of the show that night, where we were actually broadcasting while Trump was speaking, and you hear the roar of the crowd and the atmosphere. You can actually feel it through the radio. But that's what started it all. So number one on our list was receiving those original press credentials from the Trump campaign and broadcasting TPC Live from his rally.
I actually see that as number two. Number one was being in the top 20 right-wing figures supporting Trump. That was like the groundhog sticking his nose out, you know, like on movie with
Groundhog's Day, Bill
Groundhog
Murray.
Day, yeah, with Bill Murray. And then when you got into the press pen at the Memphis rally, they said, "I can't believe this guy's back." He comes back. Then you're at the news media. You're at the Republican National Convention. It was like Rasputin. They poisoned you. They stabbed you. They shot you. They tied you up, threw you in the icy river, and the next evening you show up at a cocktail party.
Hey, only Keith Alexander can pull that one out. We'll be back. We'll be back for the final segment of the year. And what a year, right after this.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
My sister was smoking, and I watched her. She asked me if I wanted some, and I said sure, and she taught me how to smoke, and that was my first experience.
Every day, an estimated 3,000 teens start smoking.
Both my parents smoke. I mean, seeing them smoke, watching them, thinking, well, they do it, it's not going to hurt me.
Smoking sends mixed messages to your children.
They just recently found out. I just told my mom, so she was shocked, very shocked.
I think parents have a big influence on whether or not their children smoke, because even if the parent says that they don't agree with it, it really doesn't hold a lot of water. I mean, you can say, "I don't agree with you smoking," but when you light up 5 minutes later, it doesn't hold a lot of water.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
The last segment of the last show of the year. Happy New Year, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for making 2016 possible for us and all the accomplishments that we were able to experience during the course of the last 12 months. However you want to organize them or order them yourselves, I think without question the top five moments for our year were being named one of the top 20 right-wing media fixtures responsible for Trump, being attacked by Hillary Clinton, being named by Hillary Clinton. That's incredible. I mean, she was the front runner, no less. Receiving press credentials to the Republican National Convention, interviewing Donald Trump Jr., and, of course, receiving those initial press credentials and the ability to broadcast the Political Cesspool live from inside Trump's press pen where we were surrounded by the degenerates of the establishment media. I mean, think about that. That was something else. Hey, go to our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Click on that article that was published on Thursday, the Political Cesspool Radio Program's Top 20 Moments of 2016. There you can actually find links that will let you explore all of these stories in much more depth. Hard to cram in a year's worth of activity in 2 hours of commercial radio, Keith, but I think we did the best we could.
Imagine how galling it must be for Hillary Clinton to realize that you're more popular than she is with all the money that was spent trying to promote her.
But we're still going, and she's not. That's for sure.
We're like the Energizer Bunny. I mean, we keep going.
Hey, last thing, folks. You've got, let's see, it's almost 9 o'clock here in Memphis. You've got a little more than 3 hours if you're in the central time zone, 2 hours if you're on the East Coast, 3 and 4 in the Mountain and West, respectively, to get in your final contribution of the year to the Political Cesspool. Please contribute to this show if you've not yet done so in December. $100 or more, you get the book from Jim Lancia or a correspondent, Downtown White Police. The Political Cesspool stands alone in the English-speaking world as a mainstream media entity dedicated to unapologetic advocacy on behalf of conservative European Americans. When you're listening to the voice of the American right, you're listening to the Political Cesspool and Liberty News Radio. With the dawn of a new year now upon us, we appreciate the promise of hope that comes with it. If you appreciate what we've been able to accomplish this year, please contribute financially in order to help us continue our unique work in 2017 and beyond. Donate tonight, right now, at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And, of course, thank you to so many people who have already done so this month. But if you haven't, we ask you to join the club of those who make everything we do possible. Thepoliticalcesspool.org. Donate now. Keith, you had something you wanted to cover in just the waning moments of tonight's show, and then we're going to end the show tonight with something I think very festive. But first I would ask you, it's going to be nearly impossible to top 2016. How do we do it in 2017, and what are some things we should look for in the coming year?
Well, you were talking about promising developments for the new year. I can think of nothing more promising than the kerfuffle that has developed between the left and Jewish power and influence and the Israeli government regarding the UN resolution on West Bank settlements that came down. This is the first opportunity we've had in a long time to have a wedge between liberalism and Jewish power and influence. You know, basically, if we could, you know, I have nothing against Jews except that they're liberal, and they have been the driving force behind every liberal triumph since the Civil Rights Movement. And without them, I don't think that liberalism would have carried the day.
And you feel the same way about liberal whites, et cetera. I mean, it's
exactly,
all about
the, yeah. Basically, I think that liberalism is the modern face of evil, and anything that promotes liberalism, we're interested in. Well, if you could take away half, you know, that could, it'd be wonderful if we could get all of the Jewish population on our side. I think that's far-fetched. I don't think it's going to happen. But what if we got half or even a quarter and could chip off that amount and get those people mobilized in favor of the Republican Party? It's basically getting the Zionist wing of the Jewish population to join in with the Republican Party and with Trump and deprive them, the Democrats and the liberals, of their money and their influence, their organizational skills, their zeal. If we could do that, we might neutralize Jewish power and influence as a impelling power for leftist change. And if we did that, I think we could go on to bigger and better things, more so than we've ever dreamed of before. So John Kerry, Barack Obama. Barack Obama doesn't think that there's anything good. He's very reluctant to start any war against people that are darker than the brown paper bag rule that you talked about. So he doesn't want wars in the Middle East. He wants surgical strikes. And he basically doesn't like the fact that Israelis that tend to be whiter than Palestinians are up here taking advantage of Palestinians. Quite frankly, I don't care about that nearly as much as I do the effect of liberalism here in the United States of America. And if that change, if that change in the political landscape could occur, it would be probably one of the best developments from our standpoint that has happened during our lifetime.
Well, I'll tell you what, folks, no matter what comes in 2017, we will be here to share in those experiences with you, whether it's triumphs or trying times, difficult times, moments of exuberance. We will be here, as we have been for 12 years, so long as the support remains steadfast. As I say, fundraising is the worst part of my job. It's the only part of hosting the political cesspool that I absolutely do not like or enjoy. I wish we didn't have to do it. I wish we were self-funded. I wish we were trust fund babies where we could fund the show out of pocket and never have to ask you for anything other than to tune into the broadcast and enjoy.
But we're not.
But unfortunately, we're not. And on the other hand, there does build a sense of community when people throw in together to make something happen. And for 12 years, our audience has done that. Never more have we been able to provide more results than what we presented to you this year. And we hope that 2017 will be another year of thrilling victories and memories made together. So we ask you to start your new year off in the same way that you're ending this one, by tuning into the Political Cesspool on Saturday night. Happy New Year from yours truly, James Edwards, from Keith Alexander, from Eddie the Bombardier Miller, Winston Smith, Scoop Stanton, Sean Bergen, Jim Lancia, Sam Bushman, Art Frith, and the entire staff and crew of the Political Cesspool radio program. Every guest, now that's one thing we didn't talk about tonight, Keith, all of the incredible guests and news stories that we covered, not related to the stuff that were mentioned in the top 20 moments. We covered a lot of news, had a lot of great guests that offered their talents and abilities to our listening audience. It has just been a year to remember. A little intimidating to follow up this year's act. We never want to jump the shark. We always want to be bigger and better. That's going to set the bar high in 2017.
Look, things have fallen so well for us this year that you have to pinch yourself just about. In closing, I'd like to thank President Obama and John Kerry for offending Israel and the Jews. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. I hope that this works so that the Zionist segment of the Jewish population at least lines up on side of the Republicans with their money, their influence, and everything else. That could be the beginning of real change.
Hey, Keith, thank you, brother, for all you've given to the show. Folks, we're just a couple of hours from the start of a new year, and I want you to listen. I know it's just a song. I want you to listen to this entire rendition of Auld Lang Syne performed by Scottish bagpipes. This is our heritage. It's worth fighting to preserve. Listen to this incredibly emotional playing of Auld Lang Syne. Reflect on the year. Reflect on what we've been able to do together. God bless you, folks. God keep you. Thank you for 2016. Let's go into 2017 together. Reflect on it all as you listen to this beautiful music. Good night. We'll see you then.
And God bless.
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.